Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Hallelujah. Let's see. Is there anything else I'm forgetting? I've made some notes here, and I don't know that I've... Let me ask you, how many of you are still doing the 10-10-10? 10 minutes of worship, 10 minutes of prayer, or 10 minutes of prayer and 10 minutes of scripture. How many of y'all are still doing that? Are things moving? Are things happening with you? I'm telling you what, it is a very special thing. And hopefully it'll grow from 10, 10, 10 to, who knows, 30, 30, 30. You know, who knows? It's something that I really felt like God wanted us to do for these 50 days, and it'll end in, or this part will end in February, the last day of February. But I really think God is in the process of teaching us, his people, how to hear from him. If there's ever a huge factor in our lives for our future as well as now, it is the ability to hear God's voice. I'm telling you, that is huge. For us to go forward, it's huge. I want to look at a few things that we looked at. We're talking about the awareness of living in the awareness of the heavenly voice. Sometimes we're just not aware that he's speaking, and we need to become aware and live constantly in that awareness and that consciousness. We talked about this the other day. We must stop believing the lie that God does not speak today. How many of you are born again? You're evidence that God speaks today. You can't save yourself. It took him speaking to you. And your living depends upon God speaking. He holds everything together. Even who we are has been held together with what he spoke and what he has continued to speak. How many of you can make your body and organs function on your own? You do it. Now, you won't know anything about that. It works because he's telling them to work. God is speaking. God is still speaking today, and we got to the place of choose to hear from God. You remember the Bible said that Moses was bringing the children of Israel out of their camps to meet God. I love that. I really did. So Moses, the leader, is bringing the people out of their houses and out of their tents and out of the camp to meet God. What? How many people are we bringing to meet God? So he's bringing them out to meet God, and then they hear all the thunderings, and they hear all the, or see all the lightnings, and they see all the smoke that's on the mountain and all this kind of stuff, and they make a decision. And what was the decision? We don't really want him talking to us. So they said, Moses, you speak to us. You tell us what he's saying. You go hear what he's saying, and you come back and tell us what he's saying. You know, and they did that out of fear. And Moses said, listen, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of him. He just wants a relationship with you. But the people stood their ground and said, in so many words, we would rather have rules than relationship. Because we're not really too keen on hearing what he has to say because we're such afraid. Have so much fear. And sometimes we can choose, sometimes out of fear, but sometimes we can choose not to hear God. And sometimes we're not even sure that God talks to us. It's hard to have a relationship. You know, everybody knows that he didn't say, I want a religion with you. He said, I want a relationship with you. How many of you know it's real difficult to have a relationship if there's no communication? And it can't be one doing all the talking. There needs to be communication between the two, which means God speaks to us. Now, there'll be some people who say, you know, are you saying God speaks in an audible voice? He has, and he can. Don't know that he will to you. I've never heard his audible voice, but I've heard his voice. I've heard his voice speak to my heart many, many times. And that came through developing a relationship with him. That came through an understanding of Scripture. As time comes, when revelation comes to you, then it's yours and nobody can ever take it away. You know, the Word of God can tell you things, but when something is revealed out of that Word, when something is revealed to you and it comes in you, it's yours. It becomes one with you. And then once it becomes, because you shall know the Word, know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. But you, the word know is the same. Adam knew Eve. It's that intimate. They became one. So when what you hear from God becomes one with you, you're free in that area that he's speaking to you. You remember we talked about the Bible says in Galatians that it is for truth. It is for freedom that Christ set you free. It is the opening of the prison cell out of your bondage, out of your darkness, into his marvelous light. That is a setting free. He paid the price, and you were set free from the captivity that sin had you in bondage. The power of sin, the power of these things were holding you and I hostage. Couldn't help it. We couldn't even help ourselves. He paid the price, opened the door to the prison for us to be free from the darkness and free from the power of it holding us. And we came out of that darkness into his marvelous light. And he said, it is for you to continue to be free is the reason that I set you free. I set you free so you could learn from that each step by faith. I set you free so you could learn each further step of freedom that I'm willing to give you and I'm wanting you to have. Does that make sense? So he's wanting us to enjoy the fullness of his freedom and not just the fullness of being delivered from sin. You hear me? Not just, okay, I got my ticket, I'm going to heaven, and that's it. I'm ready for the ship to come. I'm ready to be raptured. Yeah, well, that's great, because he did that. You are ready whenever he comes. But he said, I want you to occupy while I'm gone till I come back. He wants you to deal with strongholds that's in your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. He wants you to experience the freedom of walking, not just released. That is huge, people. Because as Christians, we have work to do. As Christians, we have something about our future that he's involved in, that he wants us to identify with him, agree with him, and go do it with him. We're partnering with him. He's partnering with us. He's Lord, but he wants us to experience the fullness of the freedom of God. In other words, as we get the freedom, whom he sets free is free indeed. And y'all know what that means, right? It's a court term, the indeed. Remember that? Indeed means it is a ruling by God. It is a ruling that you're free in this area. And since it was ruled by him, he says, it will never be overturned. It will never be overturned. Now, what is that song says? When I'm with our hands lifted up, we will worship and sing. With our hands lifted up, we will come before you rejoicing. With the hands lifted up, with high. And the world wonders why. Have you ever caused the world to wonder why? Nah, I don't really do that. Then they're not going to ask you, why are you so happy? When the world wonders why, we'll just tell them. What? We're worshiping, we're loving. I'm just loving my King. Why are you so happy? I'm just loving my King. Why do you look like you don't seem to be worried or fretful? Well, I'm just loving my King. I had a man to ask me way back in my engineering work days, the whole group went to a conference, and they all go to a bar. You know, I said, "Where are you coming with us?" And I'm a Christian. I said, "Yep." And we got people says, "You should never go." I said, "Well, that's a dark place. I'm light. I'm gonna go to this dark place." So they all order their drinks and do their thing, and I order mine. I have water on the rocks. They bring me out of water, and we're sitting with those guys, and after about 30, 40 minutes, they're feeling what they're feeling, and I'm feeling what I'm feeling. Hugo Godoy from Guatemala looks at me, and he says, "Terry Howell." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I've watched you all night. All you've had is water." And I said, "Yes, sir." "And you've got the biggest smile on your face, more so than anybody at our tables. I want to know why. When the world wonders why." Amen. So what did that give me? That gave me an opportunity to shine the light. I said, "Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ." He said, "I know that. I just want to know why you're so happy." And I said, "It is of a different spirit that I'm of. I'm of the Holy Spirit. And He makes me happy." He wound up saying, after about 5 minutes, he wound up saying, "I wish I had what you had." And I said, "You can have it today. You can have it right now." Now, I knew I put him in an awkward position, but I wasn't going to let that pass. And the other thing with him, and I said, "Now, if you're not ready today, you come talk to me anytime." Religion would have kept me from going to the bar. But my freedom sent me. My freedom sent me to dark places with people that I know and people that know me. My freedom sent me to the place of saying, "Look, you don't have to join in with them. You're in the world, but not of the world." Amen. And that's what we're on this earth to do. To be able to shine the light. Give the word. Be the light. Send the word. And that's what God wants to do. But see, if you can't hear God and you hear religion, religion will say, "Mm-mm, that stuff may get on you." See, we fear the darkness more than we trust the light lots of times. You can't be afraid of the darkness. Go to it. That's where He's sending us. He's sending our voice because we heard His voice. He's sending us with His voice. He's sending us to places that we never thought we'd go to. But see, God is in the middle of training and getting his church ready, but we cannot choose rules over relationship. If we do, then we'll have somebody else hearing God for us, and then we don't even know if they're hearing God or not. Then let's look at the other thing, develop an expectation and hunger to hear God. Are you hungry to hear him? Do you expect God to speak to you? How many of you expect God to speak to you? Right, I mean, you have an expectation. God's going to speak to you, or he is speaking to you. And like I said, it doesn't have to be this audible thing, but it's this thing that's inside you as far as your openness and the awareness to hearing the Holy Spirit speak and it be God. God wants to communicate. He wants to communicate more than you want to listen. But he wants that. He cherishes that. This thing about Moses returning, see, the expectation of him turning. We talked about him turning away. He's 80 years old. Man, he's taking care of sheep. Sees this burning bush, and it's not going out. He's seen burning bushes before, but this one won't burn out. So he turns aside. He leaves where he's at, and then he goes and inspects the supernatural. See, he's looking at something, and he's looking and saying, I've got to go see what this is about. You remember, and then when he came up, it was like, you know, God introduced himself to him, but he wanted to know about Moses. But he told him first, he said, take your shoes off, because where you are is a what? Holy place. Have you ever thought about that? The holy place to him is only what God made. Shoes are man-made. So it was just what God made was his feet. So it was the feet on the ground in the presence of God. Nothing between him and God, man-made, on his standing. We look a little deeper in this thing, and one of the questions that we have is one of the questions that Moses had, and it's over in Exodus chapter 3 in verse 4. Moses answered, and here listens to this question: what if they will not believe me or listen to what I have to say? Has anybody ever said that? What if they won't believe what I'm saying? You want to send me out, but what if they won't believe what I'm saying? And that's a question we have. What if they won't believe it? And here's how God answers it. What's in your hand? Give me a staff. I know you girls has got a staff back there. There. He said, what is in your hand? Now the question is, what if they won't believe me? What if they won't believe what I have to say? What if they just won't believe it at all? Thank you, Miss Sarah. Which one did you bring me?
Mine, actually.
That one's yours.
Yep.
Okay. What's in your hand? Basically, he says a stick. But it's a staff. He's shepherding sheep. What did he say to do? Y'all remember? What did he say to do? Throw it down. And at that moment, it turned into a serpent. He said, reach down and pick it up. He reaches down and gets it by the tail, and it turns back into what? The staff. What's the question? what if they won't believe me? What if they won't listen to what I have to say? He's teaching Moses something. And he's teaching us something about it. He picks it up, but from that point on in the scriptures, it is never referred to as the staff of Moses. From that point on, when he picks it back up, it's never referred to as the staff of Moses. From that point on, it is called the rod of God. It is with that he hits a rock, water comes out of it. It is with that he puts it in the river Nile and it turns blood, it turns to blood. Are you hearing me? It is with that he does, and the water parts. Do you hear what I'm saying? It becomes, what is he saying? I'm going to be talking to you and I want you to say some things that I want you to say. And our question is, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't believe what I'm saying is from you? What does this represent to Moses? The staff represented his identity. It's his staff. It's who he is. It represents who he is. Number two, it represents his occupation and his income, his wealth, his livelihood was represented in the staff. And it represents his influence. He's able to influence the sheep with just little nudges. And normally they have a hook on the end of it and they can rescue them, but it represents his influence. So what did God ask Moses for? Reminds me of, we're all busy. Anyway. What does he want from Moses? Lay it down. Lay down your identity. Lay down your livelihood. And lay down your influence. God's teaching a very valuable lesson to Moses, and he's teaching one to us as well. When he bought you, what does the Bible say? You are not your own. You belong to him. His identity, your identity. Well, I want to make my name known. Well, you won't get very far, and if you get there, you won't stay long. But if he lifts you up, he said, now it turns into a snake. It turns into something that is dangerous. Dangerous to us if it's not yielded to him. He reaches and grabs the end of the tail of that snake and he pulls it up. And what does it become? The rod of God, which means what? It is now his identity. It's now God's provision. It's now God's influence. And it's given to Moses. I want to hold on to it. Well, that's about as far as we can go if we're going to hold on to it. At that time, it becomes the very power to be able to do the things that he needs to do. Moses doesn't have the Holy Spirit inside him. You and I have the Holy Spirit inside us. We can either yield to his identity, we can yield to his provision, and we can yield to his influence, or we can try to create our own. Boy. I remember praying along many, many years ago when I was down and out and actually wandering, just not really conscious of connecting with God, even though I was a Christian. And God brought me to a place of brokenness to let me understand that it was like this rod. I didn't know it at the time, but it was like this rod that he was after inside me. And he led me to start praying certain things, and I'll share with you. Lord, bring me to a place that I have nothing to lose. Nothing to hide. And nobody to impress. Now be careful what you pray. Because there has been several times God has reminded me of that prayer. Well, what are you doing, son? Why are you trying to impress those people? Just be who you are. Don't try to impress them. What are you doing, son? You wanted me to bring you to a place where you have nothing to lose. Why are you holding on to that? Listen to this one. Because you gave it to me. I know I gave it to you, but I'm asking you for it back.
Yes.
Oh. But God wouldn't do that. Oh, would he not? So when you start praying things and God starts answering it, he will remind you of your prayer. Are y'all hearing this? Y'all okay with this? Identity. Our livelihood. I left a livelihood at a place of business that I was making a lot of money. You know what God asked me for? You know I believe God gave me that job. God gave me that job, and I went, and it was a great job. Then I heard him say, "I want it." I got something else I want you to go do. Well, what do you want me to go do? I want you to go help another pastor that's up in Spindale. Is there anybody else up there? Give me another option. I know that's not God. 8 months later, the pastor came and said, I want you to go pray about it. I said, you know, you need some help. You really do. But the help you need is not me. I will go back and pray. See, my first time of praying about it, I'm just very transparent and honest with you. My first time when he said, go pray about it, I went and said, God, you don't want me to go, do you? I did not think so. I'm honest with you. It's almost like when they tell you to get, when you're going out for school and you know, I'm not going out. You're going from school to sell something that the school wants to sell, you know, because they're raising money. Don't go out there and say, you don't want this, do you? No, I don't. You know, so they don't say that. Say it differently. But anyway, he asked me to go back. So eight months later, he asked me again and says, I want you to go pray about it. So this time I take it to heart. I go in my room and I kneel on my knees. And no sooner than I put my hands down on the seat, on the chair, I was flooded. Before me saying a single word, I was flooded with peace. There could have been a war in the next room. I'd have never heard it. I was overcome with the peace of God. What was God doing? Speaking to me. The word of God, the word says, let the peace of God rule your heart. So my livelihood goes from that to 1/4 of what I was making. I did say to God, God, you have to do one thing for me. He already knew what it was. And you know what it was?
Tell Brenda.
I need you. I need you to tell Brenda. I don't know how she's going to take this coming from me, because when we got married, right. Okay, come on. Come on up, Brenda. And tell them the right part.
I said, I'll never be a pastor's wife.
The heat is on. I'm flooded with peace and hear the peace of God, and I hear the voice of God, and I know this is what I'm supposed to do. And she's already said, I will never be a preacher's wife. That is resounding in my head. And then what happens? God speaks to her.
Do what?
Don't
say you won't do something.
Yeah, she said, don't say you'll never do something, because God will bring it up and you'll have to go do it. So God speaks to her about it, that this is what we're supposed to do. So we heard God to leave a place, and our livelihood, which was this, got brought down to this. Brenda said, how are we going to make it? And I said, one word, God. That's the only way we're going to make it. God's going to have to take care of us. Our lifestyle changed. We had to change a few things, but you know, and then I remember going to the very place that I'm working, and I said, okay, I'm leaving. You're what? So I was one of their golden boys. I was one of the ones that just training up to be this and be that and all that kind of stuff. And I'm leaving. Well, where are you going? I'm going to go to minister at a church. One of them looked at me and said, son, what are they paying you? And I said, about 1/4 what you are. He said, you'll starve to death. And I said, nah. I've already heard God. I've already been flooded with his peace, and it's beyond my understanding. Does that make sense? It's just beyond my understanding. But I'm going to go do what he said to go do. Does that make sense? The voice of God. I need to close. One of the things that, you know, he wants us to understand. I'm going to give you these, and then we'll close, okay? So your identity, your livelihood, and your influence. He wants that. Then once you give it to him, When you're able to pick up what he's ready for you to have, it becomes his purpose. It becomes his identity, his livelihood, and his influence. So, let me see where I'm at. I'm not going to do that. I will tell you this. How about that? Some of the ways that God spoke in here, thunder, rumbling, God's voice, a trumpet, God's voice, the wind, still small voice, a whisper, a whirlwind, a noise, and it was God's voice, a sound, and it was God's voice, the rustling wings of angels, God's voice, chariots, God's voice, many waters, God's voice, a roar, God's voice, an echo, God's voice, an outpouring, God's voice, a crying out, God's voice, shouts of joy, the shaking of the earth, God's voice. Can be all of this. Listen to this. Whistles. Y'all remember us whistling a few months ago? God whistles. That's his voice. The sound of a mighty army. The sound of musicians playing. God's voice. Visions, dreams. All that is some of the ways he speaks. Okay, does he need to speak that way to me? He can speak any way he chooses. The thing is, am I listening? When do I listen? All the time. He may speak to you when you're at a gas pump or you're in a filling station, you're at home, you're traveling, you're walking, whatever, you're just talking to a friend, and all of a sudden God's voice shows up. There's a world out there that needs to hear what God is saying. They don't need opinions. They don't need religion. They need to hear what God is saying. The question is, will we be able to lose our identity, our wealth, our whatever it is that we have, and then our influence, will we be able to lose that in order to be able to possess what he wants us to possess, in order to be able to give what people need? Because this is what he said. What if they don't hear me? What if they don't listen? I've already laid that down. I already laid it down, my identity. Oh, he must be a mighty man of God. Look what happened. Once we try to become that, that's when we've lost the identity of who he is, because now I'm working on my own identity. Okay. Who's ready to come and pick this up? Come get it. Now, it won't belong to you. That belongs to Sarah. But no, see, it wasn't who comes up, who can come up and get this back? No. What I asked for, who wants to come pick it up? Now, he's a radical worshiper. I mean, when we start singing about coming out of the darkness and him, God delivering us, he is going to get loud, and he don't care who hears him. He don't care who sees him, because he'll just, if you ask him about it, he'll just tell you he's loving his king. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's stand together. I feel like Forrest Gump. That's probably all I got to say about that. There's more to come, by the way.
There was a young lady who just left. She pulled me to the side, and she asked me to ask the church to pray for her friend. The last name of her friend is Hutchins. Apparently, she just died from an overdose. And I want to ask you to pray for this county. I tell you, this county is under attack. There's been so many overdoses in this county. It is unreal for its size. But I want you to understand, and it's something that I'm learning in this walk, that we are a body. And whatever affects one part of the body has the ability to affect the whole body. So just because you don't live in this county doesn't mean that it can't affect you. So yeah, I tell the kids sometimes when we stub our toe, what do you do? Everybody goes to look at the toe. You're hopping around and everything. But what would happen if you stubbed your toe real bad and the rest of the body said, ain't going to worry about it. And by the time you wanted to look at it, the gangrene that set up and you had to lose part of your leg. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how drugs do. So I'm asking you to not only pray for that young lady who's lost her life, but to pray for this county, but not just this county, but for this nation, because we have people in positions of authority who are trying to legalize. There's one state they want to legalize, psychedelic mushrooms and all of these different things to make it recreational. And that's just attack of the enemy to get us off track. So will you pray for her? Will you pray for this county? Will you pray for this nation? Let's lift it up. Make it part of the 10-10-10 that pastor is asking us to do. When you're praying, just lift this county up and ask God to intervene. And if you get the opportunity to intervene somehow, please do that. You know, because it's what we do that's going to make a difference. Thank you.
I'm going to let Pastor Terry lead us in that prayer. If you pray for we need to pray for this lady. We really don't know her name. But the Bible says if we pray for the well-being of the city in which we live, then we will receive our welfare. We will receive the good that God wants to give us. But we've got to pray for the city to have its well-being. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Pastor Terry.
Lord, we come to you right now. We just pray for that family that just lost a loved one. We pray for the friends and the family around her that's suffering right now, Lord. Lord, we pray for this county, this community, this nation, God. Lord, we just ask you right now that you would deafen the ears of anybody vulnerable to the lies, that all I need is this escape. All I need is this one thing, and all the thing goes away, Lord. I ask you right now that there'd be a peace come upon people, Lord, as we humble ourselves and we pray that you would heal our places of business, our places of community, our government, Lord, our children, God,
yes, Lord.
The people that are susceptible, even us, Lord, as we sit here thinking we have everything together, God, bring a humility about to us, Lord God. Bring us to a place where we can see that there's a hurt, God, and that we'd be sensitive to the hurts of other people, God, and we would be the anesthetic. We would be the thing that would inoculate the depression and the oppression that the enemy is trying to put on your children and this nation's citizens, God. And, Lord, that we would be a solution. We would be the anecdote to our community. Lord, give us the supernatural strength, the power, and more importantly, the wisdom to bring words of healing. Because you said you sent your word and you healed our disease. And God, we know that the only thing that can heal a broken heart, the only thing that can set a heart and a mind free, the only thing that can help the hurting is your word, your spirit. And Lord, make us an instrument of healing, God. Forgive us for ever being instruments of hurt, God. Forgive us for ever trying to speak out of religion, God. And Lord, give us the grace and the mercy that we need to bring words that come from the throne room of heaven that sets things in order, God. Lord, we just pray right now a revival would take place in this community, and it would start in this church, and it would start in me. Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do. And as the pastor told us right now, we come with expectations that we're going to hear what you have to say.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we come on bended knee saying, speak to us. Your servants are here. We're listening, God. Send us. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Hi. Just wanted to remind everybody, don't forget about the what we're doing for our troops, taking up the items that I mentioned. And there's a list over there at the back of the church. Also, this stays at the back of the church at all times. This is where you can drop your letters of encouragement, your thank yous to our men and women who are serving. And I just wanted to, for just a quick moment, what Terry talking about, the light in the darkness. Your words of encouragement, not just the boxes that have all these wonderful things and comforts from home, but your letters of encouragement, your love brings light into their darkness. There are a lot of things going on right now that our men and women are going through that you and I will never understand. I'm privy to some of those things, and it breaks my heart. You have the power to make a difference just by a letter of encouragement, a thank you. And I'm going to close with this, how good and wonderful God is. Before I got back to my seat, my phone went off. The power of social media can be a wonderful thing. I've already had a donation to my Venmo account for the military. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. And I've also had somebody from within the church already come over to me. So again, it doesn't matter of our financial situation. We can all give. We can all pray. That is a sacrifice of time, but each and every one of us has that time to give. Each and every one of us has that time to sit down and write. And I encourage each and every one of you to do so. Thank you.
Amen. Okay, if you're a first-time visitor, please meet me at these double doors. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.